Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded from our basement in London, and our special guest is Barry Cassignola, who joins us remotely.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The Froth headlines this week. Snack and Ori. Woman in a pickle. A pickled onion pickle. When she inherits Monster Munch addiction. Listeners flock to fill the first Froth-based listener features with predictably disappointing results. And we'll be starting to include those next week.
Hardly flocked, did they?
No, they didn't flock. They trickled in, which is why we'll be starting to include those next week. Lockdown Lock Shock. Jason Manford turns lockdown hairdresser, talking perms, plaits, buns, and is disgusted by Rod's terrible personal hygiene.
By Rod, do you mean you?
Yes. Queasy Jet. Model David Gandy takes to the skies and feels the wind in his hair and in his underpants. Allegedly. Potty trained and potty mouthed. 7-year-old boy tells coronavirus to F off. 90-year-old woman tells Sean to F off.
No, she didn't.
She did.
She didn't.
She did, bilingually in English and Welsh. And in a brand new feature, Barry's mum, herself, in person, and her partner Ian bring us the latest from their massive cuddly monkey collection. And those are the headlines. Welcome to the Froth Podcast. We will be looking through the frothier side of the news. I have been scouring the world for the frothier stories, and I'm going to start you off with this one. How do you like this one for starters? This one is about a nurse who reckons that she is addicted to the, what do you call them, corn snack? A crisp, a little, you know, little potato snack, Monster Munch.
Hang on a minute.
It's mad, isn't it? I believe it.
Do you?
I don't know.
Well, what transplant of what?
I don't know.
Tongue?
No. So, Claire, that's her name, 49.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't believe this. So basically, she has a transplant, a life-saving transplant.
Of what, though?
And then from the donor, well, I don't know, I'll get on to that in a minute. Stem cells.
Right.
Whatever they are. But she has a transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who gave her the transplant
yeah, like
donor,
Monster Munch.
The donor, like Monster Munch,
yeah.
She's never tried it, and all of a sudden, after the operation, she's addicted to Monster Munch, and she can't work it out.
I don't believe she's...
How do they know?
She's never had Monster Munch.
Shall I read you the story?
Yeah. I want to know how the donor knows, how people know that the donor was addicted. No, sorry, how people know that the donor was addicted to Monster Munch.
Well, should we read the story and find out?
How can she be 49 and never have had Monster Munch?
Well, should we read the story and find out, everyone?
Yes.
Yep.
Move your knee.
Listeners will be asking these kinds of questions. Barry's gone.
Barry's left.
Mid story.
Baz, are you Barry's on gone. The bed?
He's so upset.
What's that? Rosie's
upset as well. Barry's left. Rosie's kicking off.
Everybody just
calm down. I'll read you the story. Rosie, calm down. And I'll read you the story. Just wait. Be patient, please.
Fuzzy.
Listeners will have these kind of questions as well. I know you're all upset
about
it.
Rosie doesn't understand either.
Well, let me read the f***ing story then. And then we'll all maybe have a better grasp.
Come on then.
Rosie's gone back under the table now, she's calming down. Barry's back in his seat, I can see him there
bed.
On I can see him on Skype or FaceTime or whatever we're doing.
Here I am.
Right, so everyone's back in the room, calm down a bit and I'll read you the story, okay? Jeepers. It's like Jack and Ori on crack. Now.
Like Crack and Ori.
With a bunch of...
Which is a programme.
Crack and Ori is a programme, yeah. Right, so everybody calm down, we all sitting comfortably. I'll read you the little story. A nurse had never tasted Monster Munch before. That, I
don't believe you.
It is hard to get through 49 years without having ever tried Monster Munch.
Well,
especially
I've never had a pot noodle.
What?
I've never had a pot noodle in my life.
Why not?
Just don't fancy it.
Don't lie, Barry, for attention.
I'm not lying. I've never had a pot
noodle. Stop trying to make
yourself... Never had a pot noodle.
That doesn't make you sound exotic.
I've had a bachelor's cup of soup.
A bachelor's cup of soup?
Yeah.
Is that just a pot noodle but without the noodles in it?
I suppose it's very similar. It's very sort of just dried.
It's like dust, isn't it? Quiet. It's like dust that you put in.
Sorry, I'm doing Barry's sad song for he's never had a pot noodle.
I'm not sad about it. I could have had one if I wanted.
Oh, I thought you were giving us a sob story. I was playing our tune music.
No choice.
Baz, out of all of us, I'd have said you were the most likely to have had a pot noodle.
Me too.
Why?
Don't know.
You look like a man who lives off them.
What? Hang on.
I would expect just to the right of shot there, where
because,
I can see you in your lounge.
What a pair
it's
of
a bit
snobs.
Cheeky.
You go, oh, no. Barry, I'll tell you what want disgusting processed dried, like NASA like astronaut.
I see pot noodle as quite, like, you know, exotic.
I don't.
I do.
No.
Barry. Yes. I would have said that of all our friends, Barry, scumbag, he would be into pot noodle. I can see him on the screen there in his lounge. I would say that just off to the left, there's probably a kitchen knee-high in old pot noodle packets.
A kitchenette.
A kitchenette. He's got a baby... Through there, look, just he's got a baby belling and he's knee-deep in pot noodle cartons.
Bit of lino curling up on the edge in my kitchenette.
Ooh. Okay, so this nurse, she's never had Monster Munch. I don't believe that.
I don't believe
you've never had a pot noodle, Barry.
Why not, Baz?
Why haven't you had one, Barry?
What? Because there's other things to eat rather than horrendous. I don't want one. Please do sad music. I don't want one.
But you're a travelling comic, though. The pot noodle, you know, late at night.
He's a travelling comic. You make him sound like he's from the 19th century.
I'd never had a pie before... Before I tried one. But I'd never had a pie.
Well, if we're going down that route...
Huh?
Well, that's a new feature now, is it? I'd never had this until I had one.
Yeah.
Great. Claire was confused when she suddenly developed the intense craving, but the mystery was solved when she met her donor...
Why? Did she have Monster Munch crumbs all over her face and hands? Hello?
And I love Monster Munch T-shirt.
Yeah. They met, apparently, and the donor belched in her face and it stank. No. She said, we thought it might be a passing urge like you get when you're pregnant, like a craving, but those crisps became my favourite food, says Claire. So she's gone from never having had one, she has this transplant, suddenly she's addicted to Monster Munch, pickled onion, and now it's her favourite food. I'd never eaten them before. I preferred chocolate, she says. It's not either or, Claire. The mystery... was solved. Claire of Middlesbrough, who needed a transplant to treat a rare blood cancer, gave Nurse Keeley thank you gifts. Ah, hang on a minute. And a pack of Monster Munch. Right, so Claire, the nurse who's had the transplant, gave her donor some thank you gifts.
Right.
For some reason, she put a pack of Monster Munch in there. No idea why.
I mean, I'm not being funny. I'd be offended. If I'd given someone some of my stem cells and they came back with some corn snacks, I'd be furious.
I would be furious.
In the shape of monster feet.
Can you imagine that? You've given somebody your bone marrow and in return, they give you a pack of Monster Munch.
Hopefully it was a multi-pack.
I would be... even be a fair, multi-pack, Barry.
To be
I
fair,
would be furious.
What a strange gift.
Yeah.
It does say she gave us some other thank you gifts.
Like but, what?
And a pack of Monster Munch. I mean, you're putting your gift set together, right? Somebody's giving you their stem cell. You've got their bone marrow, right? You want to say, I want to say thanks to my donor. I know, I'll put together a hamper. What have we got around the house? I'll put in four tea bags. This bag of Monster Munch.
Excuse me, is that Fortnum and Mason's? Yeah, I'd like to send a gift to someone, but can you do me a favour? Can you chuck a pack of Quavers in?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just
put the champagne, the Valero Rocher.
A pack of Monster Munch on a bed of hay.
It's very odd to put a pack of Monster Munch in with your gift to your bone marrow donor. Anyway, Claire,
bone marrow, are you making up the bone marrow bit?
No, it's bone marrow.
It's painful as well, apparently.
Yeah, that's
really
painful.
Can you imagine getting a bag of Monster Munch in return? I mean, you don't do it for, you're not in it for the gifts. You don't give somebody your bone marrow, and you're not in it for the woman.
Well,
what I get back
was,
for this?
Eh? If she was addicted to them.
Oh, well, possibly it's worked out well for her, yeah, because she was addicted to them. But look, Claire, this is the nurse.
Or she's just said she's an enabler.
She said, Keely, that's the donor, gave me the strangest look when I gave her the Monster Munch, like I was playing some trick on her. She told me she'd always been a secret pickled onion Monster Munch addict.
So she didn't
seemingly.
Know before.
She didn't know before. Right. She didn't even know her donor liked Monster Munch.
And she still put it in the gift basket.
She still
that's
put it in the gift
that's
basket.
That's even weird.
That's mad.
What a weird gift to give somebody.
Yeah, it is weird.
Note to self. If I ever get bone marrow treatment, don't give my donor Monster Munch. Just, it's obviously
Frazzled.
An easy faux pas to make, isn't it? Give them frazzles.
Maybe throw that one out to the listeners. What's the weirdest gift you've been given after being donated someone's bone marrow?
Unequal gifts. When you give a good gift, what have you got back that isn't half as good?
It would have been a great swap shop, this, back in the day. Noel Edmonds would have loved this one on Swap Shop.
I called Saturday Swap Shop to speak to Basil Brush when he was a guest on there. And
Did you?
I can remember sat there and I kept ringing with the old dial phone, kept ringing engaged. And then I went to go to the bathroom and I said to my brother, can you just take over for a second? He got through, asked my question to Basil Brush, got all the credit when we went to school on the Monday. Everyone was like, oh, Steve, you heard you on the... And it was me.
All the credit.
And my question was, how often do you have a bath? And Basil Brush said twice a week.
Oh, Barry.
But it was my brother who asked it, so I got. Yeah.
He got all the credit.
Everyone was high-fiving
him at school.
Isn't
your brother older than you?
Yeah, three
Hey,
years.
What do we make of this? So, listen, Claire says I'd seemingly inherited this peculiar obsession from someone whose DNA I now share. Keeley said I've got a Monster Munch friend for life. From time to time. Hey, we've been laughing, but here we go. Here we go. Is it possible, I hear you ask? Well, let me read on. Rebecca Pritchard, from the charity who arranged the donor thing, says from time to time, recipients do report developing tastes shared with their donor.
That's mad. Yeah. So that suggests that taste is in your DNA.
Well, I don't know what it suggests. I'm not a scientist. You could probably tell that from this conversation.
I'll tell you what else is mad, is that she's going, wow, now we've got a Monster Munch connection for life. Not, I've got some of her bone marrow in me.
Yeah.
That's quite a connection.
Before all this happened, she went around going, there's two things missing from my life. One, some half-decent bone marrow. You'll never guess what the other one is.
Half-decent.
You'll never guess what the other one is. Go on, I'll give you three guesses. What is it? A soulmate? A soulmate? A partner? Is it? No. What about a house? You just want some roof over it? No. Pickled onion Monster Munch. Oh, you got it on the third one. How'd you get that? How amazing is that, though? That is, if that is true, I wonder if there is truth in that. We need a scientist, really. That is where we should ring a scientist. We should ring a scientist, Barry. I know a neuro...
There needs to be a taste scientist.
I tell you, do they, or would they be... What a neuroscientist do? It could be in the art of neuroscience, this, couldn't it?
Not I know somebody who works with stem cells.
Oh, no, don't bother with them. I know somebody who works with crisps generally. He's got a shop.
Let's get him in.
We could now. Let's not go to your stem cell person. Let's go to the corner shop and ask them.
I had an ex who had feet that looked and smelt like pickled onion Monster Munch.
Okay.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, let's ring them. I've had a think. Sean's got somebody who works in stem cells, but you know somebody with feet like a Monster Munch. Let's get them on the phone.
I doubt it. Ended badly.
She's blocked you, Barry.
Oh, can we not speak to them, Barry? It ended badly. I'm not surprised.
It must have ended a bit acrimoniously.
What happened? Her feet fell apart while she was walking down the street.
No, because I've got a bit of hard skin on my feet.
Oh God!
Where I pronate slightly when I walk on the inside of my foot, and it's caused hard, slightly calloused on one part of my foot.
God, you two must have been the right couple.
Terrible feet. And I got into bed one day, and my foot sort of hit her calf, and she looks over her shoulder and said to me, "Take your shoes off."
You're listening to The Froth.
I tell you who might know about this.
Who?
Well, might know. It's a mate of mine. Well, you might know him. Dean Burnett. Do you know Dean Burnett?
Yeah.
You know Dean Burnett, Sean.
Yeah, he's my mate.
Do you know Dean Burnett, Barry?
I don't know Dean Burnett.
Well, I met him through... He was a stand-up comedian. Still is a stand-up comedian. But he's also a neuroscientist. A published...
Oh, really?
He's brilliant.
Well, he writes in The Guardian as a neuroscientist, as an amusing, you know, comedy neuroscientist, but also he's written books like The Happy Brain and all sorts of stuff, so he's published, best-selling neuroscientist, and he lives in Cardiff, and we know him. So get him on the... He'll know about Monster Munch.
Oprah Winfrey was interested.
What?
Oprah Winfrey was interested in his book.
I thought you meant in our Monster Munch story.
Oh, yeah, I've got Oprah Winfrey on the line.
I thought you meant she was interested in him.
No, she's interested in his book.
I thought they don't even have them out there.
Everyone knows that.
Do you know Oprah Winfrey? Because if we know Oprah Winfrey, let's get her on the line. Forget about Dean Burnett.
I know her.
No offence, Dean. No offence, Dean, but I think even you admit you're not as big a name as Oprah Winfrey.
Well, go on, if you've got his number,
Oprah Winfrey.
Give him a call.
Winfrey.
If you got his number.
Is it Oprah Winfrey or Oprah Winfrey?
Can you be any more Welsh?
What?
Oprah Winfrey's here.
Well, they do. Go on.
They do Oprah Winfrey, what do you know?
Let's give Dean Burnett a ring. And then we'll give Oprah Winfrey a bell, shall we?
Ringing or not? Ah, it is ringing. Dean Burnett.
Hello, Mr. Gilbert. You're right.
Hi, Dean.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Dean. I'm really sorry to bother you during the coronavirus lockdown, but I do have a very, very important question that we need answering.
Okay. I'll do my best.
I want you to put on your neuroscientist hat. But I don't know if it's a neuroscientist that I need to talk to. Basically, there was a story in the paper about a nurse. What happened was she had a donor. She had a bone marrow transplant. And she reckons that she is now addicted to Monster Munch following the bone marrow donation. So she'd never tried Monster Munch before. Suddenly she's addicted to Monster Munch and she reckons it's because her donor was addicted to Monster Munch. And a donor is addicted to Monster Munch. Is that possible? And is neuroscience in any way capable of answering that?
Well, there's no known mechanism whereby you could transfer enthusiasm for crisps via stem cells or any other cell transplant. I mean, like that's a personality memory thing. But it is possible that, if the donor liked Monster Munch because of a certain chemical makeup of his physiology, so like they responded well to Monster Munch, and then she's had cells from him, so she might have a similar sort of chemical inclination now. So much stuff happens inside our body, and it can affect how we perceive things, affect our likes and cravings. And if there was some sort of chemical quirk that the donor had, which made them like Monster Munch, then she might have inherited that, I suppose, if it is.
So you would not call BS on this? You reckon it's possible? Dean, lovely to talk to you as always.
You too, sir.
Well, when we started this, I never thought this conversation about Monster Munch, this nurse, I never thought I would be on the phone 5 minutes later to a neuroscientist. Seven-year-old boy tells coronavirus to F off. This is, do you see this in the news?
I haven't seen it.
Coronavirus. I don't need to explain that to you. You're familiar with what that is?
Too familiar.
7-year-old boy. There's a little picture of him there. He's with his parents and his looks like a little sister. He's written a little handwritten note. To coronavirus. You destroyed my birthday. You are the F word.
Hang on. You are the F word. You are the F word.
Yeah, don't worry about the grammar. He's 7 years old, Barry. It's the sentiment. It's the sentiment we're following. 7-year-old. Oh,
we're not worried about that.
Look, there's a little picture. There's a little picture of him smiling there with a card going, "You are the F word." He said, "Dear coronavirus, you destroyed my birthday. You are the F word." His birthday cancelled. His birthday party's been cancelled.
He doesn't sound like he's taking it well.
He hasn't taken it well. He hasn't taken it well at all. God, his parents are smiling there. My parents would have given me a right old hammering if I'd said the F word at 7 years old.
Yeah.
Especially getting in the papers for it. I mean, when I was...
They can't even send him home from school. He's not in school.
I got in the Daily Mirror when I was probably about 6 or 7, and I won a funny face competition. And what it was, my mum had taken me a photo.
Harry, your life is so showbiz.
My mum had taken a photo of me with soap suds around like Father Christmas. So I had all like bath suds as a beard and hair. Took a photo, sent it in Daily Mirror. I won an Olympus Trip camera. Got my photo printed in the Daily Mirror.
Olympus Trip.
Yeah, and sold it to my mum for 80 quid.
You were 6.
You did what?
I sold the camera to my mum for 80 quid.
Barry, that's brilliant.
Quid. Yep.
She gave a 6-year-old 80 quid for a camera?
Yeah, well, she wanted a camera. I had a camera.
Yeah. In the 80s?
Supply and demand. Luckily. Supply and demand.
Luckily, your mother is a friend of this show, and luckily, we all know that she's turned out to be a lot saner in her old age than she was back then.
Oh, what? Yeah, that
was a joke. I was joking, Barry. I was joking. Your mother, who's got 100 cuddly soft monkeys and takes them out for the day in the car and dresses them all and washes them, bathes them all every Sunday night. Yeah, that's the one. She really has turned out a lot saner.
Just to let you know very quickly before we talk about this story, she when the lockdown was about to happen, they made a trip down to Bournemouth solely to pick up their favourite monkeys and bring them back.
Does that mean, Barry, that she left some of them there?
Yeah, she left the smaller ones. She's got like some little tiny ones, yeah. But the favourite ones, which are generally the ones that have come from like somewhere like Build-A-Bear or one of those.
Quick, Barry, let's turn this into the feature. We might as well not even started talking about it. What's happened? What's she done recently, Barry?
Well, I'll tell you, obviously we're on lockdown, and just before she found out there's a lockdown, her and Ian, they drove down to Bournemouth solely to pick up monkeys, right? Not an elderly relative or a kid or someone, go, right, they should be with us. No, they went to pick up inanimate objects, monkeys.
To pick up cuddly monkeys. Stuffed monkeys.
Yeah, and they brought them back, and I went round, and we responsibly, again, this was just before the proper lockdown came in, we responsibly sat.
I love how carefully you're making sure that listeners know this is before the lockdown. I can tell by looking in your face, your mother has broken the lockdown rules to go and get some cuddly soft toys from Bournemouth.
She didn't, but...
So just to recap, just before the lockdown, your mum knew the lockdown was coming.
Yeah.
So she drove... From where to Bournemouth?
From sort of Epsom in Surrey, sort of southwest London, just further out in Surrey, to Bournemouth. Yeah. It's probably about an hour and 40-minute drive, longer, probably almost
an
2 hours.
An hour and 40... Almost 2 hours she drove each way.
Yep.
To ensure that her monkeys didn't get locked down in Bournemouth.
Yes, her favourite ones. Brought them back and felt slightly guilty that she brought a load back in a bin bag.
She didn't.
Well, they were in a rush, weren't they? So they just sort of stuffed a load. You know, it was like a... I mean, it probably looked like a robbery.
They were in a rush.
It probably looked like a robbery, but instead of getting jewels, they were just grabbing monkeys and shoving them into a bag.
How could she choose which ones her favourites were?
Oh, they've definitely got favourites. I mean, Albert is the...
Albert. We all know Albert's her favourite.
Yeah, Albert's the...
Even I know that.
You've seen pictures of Albert at the Bovington Tank Museum, signing up or enlisting himself. It's weird.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mum?
Yes?
Mum, do you remember, we've just been talking, you're on the podcast, by the way, is Rod and Sean.
Hello, hi Barry's mum.
Hello Sean.
Hello Barry's mum, hi Viv.
Hello Rod.
I'm here. Hello Sean,
hello
Rod.
Hey, hello.
Hi, we couldn't see you off camera there.
No.
You were lurking in the shadows off camera.
This is your first ever video call, isn't it mum?
Oh, yes. I'm a little bit deaf, aren't I?
Oh, that's handy. So, Mum, just a quick question. Do you remember years ago when we there was a funny face competition in the Daily Mirror and you sent in a picture of me with foam all around my chin and around my head, like looking like Father Christmas?
Oh, yeah, you were in the bath with bubbles all up and we put it all over your hair and all around, so you had a beard. And I don't know how much it showed of your...
Chest up.
And they were different times.
So we sent it to the Daily Mirror, didn't we? It was a funny face competition.
That was ages ago.
I think it was about 1980, I reckon.
Was it?
I reckon that was ages ago. I would hope so. Barry's 45 now. If this was recently, I'd be really worried.
Did you win?
I was such a shock that you won. Thanks to me.
It was my face.
You take that bit.
You took the picture. You took the picture, but it wasn't thanks to you. It was my face, bubbles around my face.
Your bubbles.
My bubbles, my face.
Let's not fall out about this now.
The prize was an Olympus Trip camera. I sold this to Mum for 80 quid, didn't I, Mum? you thought, oh, I'll have that. I'll have that camera off you. I'm not sure whether I actually got the money, to be honest.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Can I ask some questions about this event, Viv, Barry?
Yeah.
So Barry's about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
He's got foam all over his face. You send in the picture to the Daily Mirror. He wins first prize in the funny face competition.
Yeah.
The prize is an Olympus Trip camera that I remember very well, the Olympus Trip. And he sold it to you for £80, Viv. What were you... Why you're his mum. Why didn't you just take it off him? You don't buy... Why did you offer him £80?
Oh, no, he would have been in a bad mood for months, wouldn't he, Barry?
Well, yeah, if he had just stole my camera off me, yeah, I would.
Bad mood.
I've just done a quick search online for the Olympus Trip. I remember the camera. I've got a feeling it was about £135, that camera. So in actual fact...
No.
Actual fact, you ripped him off, Viv.
I don't believe that.
Your own son.
You owe me 55 quid, Mum.
You've become a bit of a star of this, of the old Radio Wales show that we had, Viv. Loads of people all over the world still ask us to have an update on Barry's mum's monkey madness, the feature that was on. We love the updates on the monkeys. Could you give us an update now on what's happening with the monkeys and, you know, any news? What's the latest?
What now?
Ian, how many do you reckon you've got at the moment?
What about this one? We did a stock take Christmas time.
Stock take?
About 125.
125? Whoa. I thought it was more than that, actually. 125.
I'm sure there are some more.
Whoa. You got rid of some?
No, not really. We've got favourites.
Yes, I hear Albert is a favourite. Is that right? Favourite
Albert?
Oh,
he is. Albert is, yes.
Yeah, well, could you and Ian... I'll tell you what, could you... I was trying to explain, you and Ian, when lockdown was about to start, you made a dash down to Bournemouth on a monkey run, didn't you? You went and saved a few.
Yes.
Yeah, we were a bit worried, actually, because we hadn't seen them for 7 or 8 weeks.
And
we had to check on them just to make sure they were all right, and... Yeah, they were okay.
What has he got?
Biggles is here.
That's Biggles.
Oh, hello, Biggles.
And why are you showing us a box of Shiraz? You've got a box of Shiraz wine there. Why are you showing us that?
Because Biggles was drinking from it.
Oh, was it?
You naughty boy. The naughty Biggles.
So you went to Bournemouth Biggles. Specifically. Mum, you went to Bournemouth specifically to grab some monkeys, didn't you, to bring some back?
Well, you know Bournemouth, you know what it's like with all those little monkeys?
Right.
Yeah.
No. We brought all the other ones back in the car, didn't we?
In the car, though.
I would have loved it if you got pulled over.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, with all the monkeys?
Can you imagine?
Well, we were all right. We've got a couple of police monkeys,
haven't
we?
Oh, yeah. Old officer that's people. A Dixon, a Doc Green.
Yeah. That would have got you off the hook.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would.
We get requests from all over the world for Barry's Mum's Monkey Madness and updates. And I think launching this podcast, we had more requests for that than anything else.
That's really captured. People love the monkeys.
Let's keep in touch on it, and we want regular updates from the monkeys and see what's going on. Thank you so much for joining us. We will get an update next time.
Such a joy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So you need to press leave end or leave call on your one, I think it says.
Yeah.
Put the glasses on and see.
Yeah, okay. What
should
you do?
It should be a red.
You have to press it twice. There's always an awkward ending where you press it once, say your goodbyes, and then you have to press it again. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'll put the cat on.
Thank you so much.
Oh, okay.
Speak to you later.
Amazing.
Here and now, I pledge that we will have regular updates.
Yes, please.
From Barry's mum and Ian and the monkeys. We just need a new name for the feature. It's got to be a froth-related name for the feature. So far, my best guess is Barry's mum's monkey froth.
Or Barry's mum's... Barry's mum's monkey fun, but without... That doesn't have froth.
It's got a froth in it. Barry's mum's monkey froth. Barry's mum's froth monkey.
Monkey froth fun. Barry's mum's monkey froth fun.
Froth,
it's got to have Barry's mum in it. It's got to have the words Barry's mum in
Barry's
it.
Barry's mum's frothy
Barry's mum's monkey
froth fun sounds weird.
So what are we going to call this feature? Should we throw it out to listeners? That's the challenge this week, listeners. We want regular updates from Barry's mum and her monkeys. Barry's mum and Ian and their monkeys. We are going to have regular updates, I promise you. We just need a name for it.
I want to go and stay with them. I genuinely want to go and stay with them. I will join in, I promise.
We all want to go and stay with them. But what are we going to call this feature? Listeners, that is your challenge. You're in on the ground floor. You're in at the start of this podcast. What are we going to call it? It's got to have Barry's mum in it. It's got to have monkey in it. Or chimp, primate, baboon, gibbon. It's got to have froth in it. I can't think of one.
Hey, talk. So this 7-year-old boy has told the coronavirus that you destroyed my birthday, you are the F word. Somebody else this week, Barry, that we know very well this week, got told in pretty much not so many words to F off when they volunteered for the NHS, volunteered to be part of the NHS volunteer scheme.
Sorry, go on. So who did what?
Well, when the government having having successfully depleted the NHS of all its funding for the last 10 years. bit of politics. Hang on, keep it light. It's the froth. No politics here, please. No serious chat. Stop that.
That's not politics. That's just fact.
Yeah, no, it's a bit controversial, a bit political for us, isn't it? We're trying to keep it frothy and light. Anyway, the government put a call out, didn't they, saying, will you volunteer to be part of the NHS? And hundreds of thousands of people volunteered, right? including Sian.
Me.
Yeah. And you, Barry, as well, didn't you?
Yep.
I missed the deadline.
Rod hasn't done it.
I missed the deadline, and by the time they had 700,000, I thought, oh, sod it.
I mean, they still need help.
Listen, I'm doing plenty on a local level.
Right.
Like sending my neighbour filth on WhatsApp.
Yeah, you're keeping spirits up.
I'm keeping spirits up.
Yeah. Come
exactly.
on.
Anyway,
yeah.
Sian volunteered to be part of the NHS volunteer scheme, right?
Yeah, which is a really nice thing to do.
Really nice thing to do,
kind.
Lovely. Really kind.
Yeah.
Really nice. And Sian, her plan was to ring elderly people in Wales and speak Welsh to them, Welsh first language. They'd love a chat in their mother tongue, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many people who can speak Welsh sort of thing, so this could be Sian's ability to communicate with these people in Welsh might be seen as a valuable resource. Not by the 90-year-old woman that told Sian to get stuffed.
Are you serious?
You're elaborating.
Sian, tell me.
She told Sian to F off.
No, she didn't.
She said, I'm not interested.
In Welsh or English?
Both languages.
Both. I think it was just hand signs.
She said she wasn't bothered. Didn't want to chat.
She didn't want to chat with me because she already
rejected.
Had enough people to chat with. So my delightful conversation skills weren't needed. Which is fair enough. I'll just take them elsewhere. There's plenty of other people who are sick and,
But that's a knockback, isn't it? A 90-year-old woman on her own going, nah, I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm all right, thanks.
Baz, I just had this image of the phone just ringing off. Do you know what I mean?
She did. She did chat to Sian for a while and then Sian offered a regular phone, going, she said, no, I'm all right, thanks.
That's even worse.
I think I'll... Don't call me.
Please don't phone me back.
Please don't call me again.
Yeah.
She's blocked her number.
Yeah.
Reported her as a pest. Got a restraining order out.
I thought I was doing really well.
Oh, it was a nice gesture, darling.
Yes.
But you just haven't got what it takes.
No, I know. I don't. Obviously.
Oh, I'll tell you what that deserved. That deserved a little...
What, a pen in a cup?
Yeah, a little pen in a cup sound effect. It's time for Froth of the Week. Which of these frothy stories is the frothiest? I'll read you three frothy stories and you've got to give me the frothiest story of the three. Story one, a 5-year-old boy begs his brother to give him an old man haircut and succeeds. Frothy story two, Colleen Nolan spends a lot of money on her pets. Story three, supermodel David Gandy breaks wind on a plane.
So which is the most non-story?
Which is the frothiest of the three frothy non-stories?
I'm interested in this kid with the haircut. What's that about?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the photos are hilarious.
So I think that should be a headline. I don't think that is froth. I think that's the biggest story of our time.
Boy five begs brother for old man haircuts.
Begs as well.
George Moores, he's 5 years old, George Moores. He convinced his 7-year-old brother to shave the top of his head and shave it all bald on the top so he's just got hair down the sides.
I love
what are the scores on the door, left, George Moores?
It says George Moores' dad, Kevin, 38, had left his clippers on charge upstairs. The youngest son soon found them and decided it was time for a new look. George then managed to convince his brother, Harry, to shave a big bald spot on the top of his head, just leaving the sides like an old man.
Brilliant.
Where did he get the inspiration from? A man he'd seen on You've Been Framed. My Mrs. Rebecca had to go to work and I was left with George, who was begging me to make him look like an old man.
Begging.
I didn't know what he meant. But You've Been Framed was on the TV at the time and he pointed at an elderly gentleman with hair thinned on top and said he wanted to look like that. I think the dad wouldn't do it, so he recruited his brother who did it. I like that story.
The first photograph.
The first time I ever had my head shaved, I was probably about 8 or 9, and there was a barber's just right by the little shop where my mum worked. And I went in there, and the guy, it was an Italian barber, he did that where he shaved the all through down the middle, and then he asked me how much money I had, and I told him, that's not enough, I'm going to have to leave you like that, and I started crying. And then he felt really bad, finished off the rest of it.
Really?
Yeah, I bet he felt bad, and his joke backfired. Yeah.
Barry, have you seen the photo?
Look at the photos of the 5-year-old boy, George.
Oh my god.
Awful.
Oh, he looks so much like an old man. There's a great one here of him with his dad. Where's that picture gone? Let's find that one.
Let's try and stick those on social media.
Look at this one.
Oh my, that's brilliant.
There's a picture of that. That will be on, we will put that on the Froth social media. Definitely, that is a picture
so
of George
sweet.
Looking like an old man. That is great. So which of those, I tell you what, because everybody's, I've got to cut my own hair. We've been talking about this today on this coronavirus lockdown. I've got to cut my own hair again. I'm lucky, I did my own hair until I was about 40. I never went to a hairdresser till then, so I'm used to it. Barry said he's going to shave his hair off tonight.
I might do it in that style first. Take a picture.
Oh, give yourself an old man haircut.
Oh, Baz, what if the clippers break? What if something happens?
Do you know why I want to ring looking at this? I know, I have. Jason Manford's got loads of kids, right? Mm. He's got, and he's got 5 or 6 kids. What the hell are they doing on lockdown? They must be cutting, he must be cutting all their, let's give him a ring.
Give him a bell and
let's
find out.
Let's give Jason a ring. Hang on. This is a message for Jason Manford. We've got an urgent call about a child's haircut. I repeat, urgent call about a child's haircut. This is Rod, Sian and Barry on the Froth podcast. If you could call us back, please, on... Just doing this to hide the number from listeners. Okay, bye-bye. Oh, he's come calling back. What do I do? Oh God, end and accept.
End and accept.
Oh God, I get confused. Hold and accept. Hello.
Hi, pal.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I was just leaving a message on your voicemail there.
Oh, right, you left one.
I've left one, yeah.
I've been like the first one in about 6 years.
You don't need to listen to it now, though.
I'll listen to it later. I'm trying to get a couple of kids out of the shower.
What? Are they both in there together?
Oh, yeah, the big old shower and the little kids. Man, that's not
what it was. Hey, the reason I wanted to get you on the phone today, Jason, not just to say hello, was because I read a story in the newspaper that I thought you're the man to talk to about this. I read a story about a 5-year-old, right, who has managed to persuade his 7-year-old brother to give him an old man haircut. I thought, how are you coping with 6 kids and what are you doing for haircuts?
Well, the good thing is with girls is that their hair just grows and grows and grows.
True. I mean, that's true. That's true of boys as well. Often.
It's the only benefit.
The very few benefits.
Yeah.
And they obviously, we can do things with, going to plaits or ponytails or bunches and a little ballet bun. These are the sort of things I've trained myself to do over the years. But,
yeah.
I actually did a hairdressing course when my daughters were 4.
Did you?
A very short one, like a 3-day thing at the local hairdressers.
Yeah.
Where I said, look, I've got 4 daughters and I've just split up with my wife, and one of the things I'm really missing is the fact that she always did her hair and I can't do it, and I feel like a bit of a loser, weekend dad if I can't do the hair properly. So yeah, I went in and they showed me how to do all the different haircuts. I'm amazing now.
Wow, that is so amazing.
When this lockdown finishes and there's a divorce boom, hairdressers need to put online. Come and learn how to do all the things that your wife did.
Dads.
Jason.
Yeah, mate.
I had a perm when I was 12. Do you reckon you could do me a perm?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I specialise in, and it's certainly not something my girls have asked for.
But, not yet.
Talking about things like this, here's an honesty quiz for you, Jace. How badly have you let yourself go since this lockdown?
up until yesterday, I was like a wild man, sort of coming out of the woods after years of being in there. But then I had to go on, I've got this cartoon that I'm doing called Daisy and Ollie, and I had to go on the Steph show on Channel 4, which was, you know, where you've got to be on camera for the whole show.
Right.
So I went into my bathroom, I combed my hair, trimmed my eyebrows, just trimmed my beard a little bit. Do you know what, Rod? I put a little bit of powder on. And a
Did
bit
you?
Of rub. I put some of that eye brightener underneath the eyes. I felt like $1 million.
Did you bother washing downstairs? Or you just thought it's only from the waist up.
Of course not.
What's the longest on this lockdown that you've been without washing your balls?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, James.
Be honest.
I've got to say, my balls have been washed every day.
No.
No, listen to this.
Oh God. I can definitely beat that. It's a week.
Oh, mate.
That's disgusting.
Please help.
Well, there was a point where, so I don't, you know, obviously none of us know if we've had it or not because of the testing thing. But I had a cold about 3 weeks ago, something like that, and then I lost my sense of smell and taste for about 10 days. Who knows? I don't know whether I've had it or not. But I had lost my sense of smell and taste. And there was a point where about 4 days in, I didn't really realise that may be something to do with my own cooking, that I'd not realised that I'd lost my own sense of taste as well. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what, I've had a shower for 3 days, and I don't even stink. It was all right then, weirdly, it was fine. A bit weird not being able to taste anything that you eat and you wear.
Yeah.
And then, but then it became like a superpower. I did the bins, I was changing nappies.
Jase, Jase, doing the bins isn't a superpower, mate.
Doing the bins and not being able to smell it.
Oh, yeah, that is.
You've not seen the way I do the bins.
Hey, listen, Jase, we're gonna let you go, mate, but thanks ever so much for stopping by to talk to us.
Thank you.
Lovely to speak to you.
All right, lots of love. See you guys. See
Cheers, you soon. Thanks, mate.
All right, mate. We got Colleen Nolans, spends £1,000 on her pets, apparently.
How, what, a year?
No,
a day.
Animal and Loose Woman star Colleen Nolan splurges £1,000 a month.
Hang on, Animal and Loose Women star.
It's a, oh, Animal, I can't read. Animal Mad, sorry. Animal Mad, Loose Women star. I'm reading it off a little printout here. Colleen Nolan splurges £1,000 a month on her pets. The 55-year-old has 4 dogs, 3 cats and 2 ponies.
Well, that makes sense.
That's quite a lot of pets, isn't it? That's she says farm. She cannot resist spoiling them with brushes, rugs, fancy food and luxury breads.
Luxury beds.
No, luxury beds. Sorry, luxury beds. Yeah. Yeah. Have this.
Yeah, she's
Have
got
this seeded granary.
She's got some really fussy ducks.
You're not supposed to feed... Are you supposed to feed ducks bread or not?
No, not anymore.
It depends on if
not anymore,
on,
Barry.
If they're on the Atkins or not.
I don't think you are either these days.
My mum gives them porridge.
Does she?
Yeah.
Only for breakfast. What do they have the rest of the day?
I
was like, that probably keeps them going till lunch.
Slow burning, complex carbs.
I get really hungry after porridge. Anyway,
it's
anyway,
awful.
Look, that's the second story.
Yeah.
Supermodel David Gandy has said his worst habit. Oh, God, it's worse than we thought. Okay. It is more of a story than we at first thought. Okay. I'm level with you. There is more to this than meets the nose or ear. Supermodel David Gandy, you all know who he is, yeah? Which one he is, David Gandy?
Yes.
Massive supermodel. What does he do? What brands does he do?
I would imagine he does something like either Wellman or one of those vitamins that I always see on the tube.
Oh, he does, yeah.
And I would imagine that.
He's obviously not as well as he thinks. He doesn't sound well. It's like a Wellman at all, ironically.
Is it CK1?
I think he might do CK1.
Calvin Klein.
Like, he's a massive supermodel, yeah. Anyway. I think he's like the biggest supermodel in the world for a while, wasn't he? Or maybe he still is. Anyway, he says his worst habit is constantly farting on airplanes.
Oh, no.
Constant.
Constant. Oh, he only has to set foot on a plane as soon as he gets near the airport. As soon as the taxi pulls up the ramp to get to the airport, he's off, apparently. David, 40... became the world's highest paid male model after posing in white Speedos, I remember that, for a Dolce & Gabbana.
I hope he doesn't wear those in the plane.
Dolce & Gabbana. Dolce & Gabbana was the brand. But he said, I fart a lot on planes. What?
Why would you admit to that?
Yeah.
What interview got this out of him? I fart a lot on planes.
What was the question, David? David, just quickly.
Oh, one last thing, David, before you go.
Was it a press conference?
Is there anywhere where you would say you farted a lot? Or maybe it was a multiple choice. Or just a couple more, David. I know you've got to go. I know you've got a Dolce & Gabbana shoot tonight, but just one more question. Would you say you fart on planes somewhat often? Never.
David, we've just interviewed Naomi Campbell, and she's informed us she likes to burp on a train. Any stories from you?
Yeah. What is your favourite way to release wind, and what public transport? He admitted, I fart a lot on planes. And I asked what he most disliked about his appearance. He said, if my nose and ears continue to grow, I'm in real trouble.
They will.
Because that's what happens.
He's only 40, which means, yeah. You know.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, if any of us, if our ears and nose just continue to grow, depending on the rate of growth, we're all in real trouble.
They will.
I mean, it sounds like his nose is going to be in more trouble than his ears by the way he's going.
Right, so those are your three stories. You've got David Gandy farting constantly on planes, Colleen Nolan spending money on her pets, or a little boy getting an old man's haircut. Which one do you want?
I think the old man's haircut is a top news story.
It's a good story, that. So is Gandy farting on a plane.
It's the constantly, isn't it? It does elevate the story. If it was a one-off, that fart, fair enough, but it's constantly does make it a bit... It makes it newsworthy.
That he's brought it up.
And all Colleen's doing is feeding her pets.
Yeah. That's the frothiest.
Yeah.
You're going for Colleen Nolan?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Colleen Nolan, on feeding her pets is this week's Froth of the Week. That's about all we got time for.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thanks to our special guest, Barry Castagnola. Thanks to all our guests as well. Jason Manford.
And Dean Burnett.
Barry's mum and Ian and the cuddly monkeys.
All the monkeys.
All the monkeys. That's going to be a regular feature, obviously, but we do need a name from you, listeners. Don't forget to visit us on social media. You can find us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll find extra froth. That's right, little extra tidbits.
Tune in next week.
Yes, of course. And in the meantime, subscribe, like, and don't forget to rate us at 5 stars. This episode is dedicated to Peter Burnett, Dean's dad, a.k.a. Bush, who sadly passed away from COVID-19.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.